This football season, from the office to happy hour, every Friday is Fan Friday. Visit Dick's Sporting Goods for the largest selection of authentic Reebok NFL apparel. And wear your team out. Every season starts at Dick's.
Pardon interruption, but I'm J.A. Adonde, and I love filling in for Tony and Mike. But it's a drag having to fly all the way to D.C. Right, Dan?
I'm Dan Levitard in Miami. Bam!
What?
Come on, baby, shake your body. Do the conga. No, you can't throw yourself any longer. Bam, 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 bam.
I fly all the way across the
Macarena.
Can't even fly up here. Same time zone. You don't even have to readjust your watch.
I don't want to leave the comforts.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Bill Belichick speaks, Greg Oden gets some more discouraging news, and Chad Johnson wants to jump into Cleveland's dog pound. Well, let's jump into this. After Roger Goodell announced videogate penalties of a $500,000 fine for Bill Belichick, $250,000 and the loss of a likely first-round draft pick for the Patriots, reaction around the league and from the sports columnists was that Goodell wasn't hard enough. He didn't drop the hammer on the Pats and their coach, more like a Phillips head screwdriver. Dan, you're a sports columnist. Are the penalties enough, or should Goodell have extracted more blood?
He's an inconsistent dictator, making up the rules as he goes along. I don't understand how Wade Wilson could get five games. And you don't even penalize this team and this coach for this year, J.A. This penalty doesn't impact this team. And then there's this sliding scale of, imagine this with steroids. 50 home runs. If you hit 50 home runs, you get 50 games. But if you hit 25, you only get 25 games. How are we basing this on the playoffs? What does that have to do with anything?
We also talk about repeat offense. That's one of the things he's been big on when punishing the players. And here you had accusations of the Patriots doing the same thing last year in Green Bay. So it's not the first time this has come up with the Patriots. And it's also, I think it's an unfair punishment, especially when you compare it to Wade Wilson and to the players. And those are situations where he didn't wait for the court system. I thought he was overstepping his bounds a little bit and not letting the legal system play out. In this case, he is the judge. He's the juror. He's everyone. This is his jurisdiction. He has every right to be harsher, and he should have been harsher. There should have been game suspensions and suspensions of pay in addition to the fine.
But how about the idea that he didn't do anything that impacted the Patriots this year? And if you look at it, I mean, we could sit here. It's not our money. They're not our draft picks. We could say it's not much of a penalty. Before the last year, J.A., this would have been an extraordinary penalty. It would have been something that would have made all our jaws drop. But he's changed the parameters now over the last year. So we're expecting him to throw the guillotine, you know, to let the guillotine fall. And he didn't do it.
You also have to look at it in the world context, too. You look at what's going on, let's say, with the Formula One, where the McLaren racing team got hit with a $100 million fine. That's something that's very serious. You look at what happens in the Tour de France when someone gets busted for cheating, not just that person, but the entire team pulls out the Tour
well,
de France.
How about this part of it too, J.A.? I mean, Wade Wilson, it's going to cost him more. It's more. It's a higher percentage of his salary than it is of Belichick.
And that doesn't affect competition.
Staying with the cheating champion, are we now going to apply similar doubt to the stained Patriots that we do to things like the Tour de France and baseball? Whenever someone unexpected has a power surge or slump in baseball, we wonder about whether they're on or off the juice. The Patriots play the Chargers Sunday in the best game of the early season. If the Pats get smoked, J.A., are people going to knee-jerk and wonder if it's because they lost their cheating edge?
Sure, that's out there, but I don't think people should put too much onto this. I don't think that's the reason the Patriots won Super Bowls. That's not the reason they've been at the top of the NFL all these years.
Well, wait a minute.
It could play into it.
But, J.A., you don't know, though. You don't know how much of an impact this does or doesn't have.
It's not the sole factor, though, and it's not as big a boost as, let's say, performance-enhancing drug to a cyclist. I mean, this is just one small part of what it takes to win a football game.
You
need athleticism, coaching, all that.
I understand that. But we don't know how much steroid helps you hit a baseball. Barry Bonds still has to hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Exactly.
And Tom Brady still has to execute the play. But we have no earthly idea, no data on how much this does or doesn't help.
Well, for one thing, if they're saying, let's say they're getting the data and they're gathering it and then they're disseminating to the team at halftime, so you still have to play the first half of the game without knowledge of the other team's signals right there, and you still have to execute. You still have to block. You still have to pass. You still have to run your routes. You still have to do all those things. So I don't think they necessarily did all this. Now it's going to be curious to me what happens this weekend. Is this a distraction for the Patriots and they've had to spend all this time addressing it, or is it a rallying point?
But how does it linger? Because Jason Giambi, anytime Jason Giambi goes on a string of home runs, isn't the assumption, well, he's probably using HGH again? If the Patriots go on some sort of run, aren't people going to assume maybe Belichick found another way in the crevices and in the dark
corners?
Also,
speaking of HGH, you tack this on with the Rodney Harrison suspension, all of a sudden the Patriots are looking like a dirty franchise, aren't they? All right, moving to another Kurtz franchise, apparently. Trying to find the few rays of sunshine on the cloudiest day of the year in Portland, the Trailblazers said that Greg Oden's microfracture knee surgery went cleanly, the damaged area was small, and his use should enable him to make a complete recovery. But former Blazer Zach Randolph, who had the same surgery in 2005, told the Oregonian newspaper it took him 2 years to get back to his old self. Dan, are you buying a sunny prognosis, or will the 19-year-old Oden be of drinking age by the time he's ready to be an impact player in the NBA?
Not a lot of sun coming out of Portland yesterday in that press conference. Did you see? They look haunted. The executives during that franchise look haunted. We got two press conferences in the last couple of days. You got Belichick with the best sports press conference since McGuire's I'm Not Here to Talk About the Past. And then you have this one. They look terrified. And this is about as bad a physical news as you can get outside of, you know, organs and cancer. This is physically, it's about as bad an injury as an athlete can have.
Yeah, I mean, I think the worst case scenario we've seen this week was Kevin Everett. But I said if you would have put the mute button on, and you would have watched the Buffalo press conference and the Portland press conference. I mean, it looked just as bad. Obviously, this is not a dire health situation for Greg Oden when you compare it to Kevin Everett. But when you look at the state of the Portland Trailblazers franchise, it is a very serious situation. This is a setback. Even if he does come back, if Zach Randolph said 2 years, that could be 20% of Greg Oden's career. He's not the effective franchise player you thought you were drafting.
I will say this, though. I know Amari Stoudemire was limited, wasn't as athletic as he used to be for a while. Zach Randolph is saying the same thing. Greg Oden's game is already very limited and doesn't require that much offensive change.
His knee was damaged after playing one college season. What's going to happen when he plays 82-game NBA season?
Moving to a happier story, is there a player anywhere in sports more fun than smirking Chad Johnson? The Bengals receiver says that if he scores at Cleveland Sunday, he's going to Lambo leap into the dog pound. There are two possibilities here on the extremes. We'll all laugh or Johnson will die. These particular dogs might be more rabid than Michael Vick's. J.A., two questions. Will he actually do it, and will he actually survive it?
Well, I think it's a setup. But first of all, I think you shouldn't mix metaphors. You have the Lambeau Leap, that's Lambeau Field, Green Bay. You have the Dog Pound, that's Cleveland's trademark. Why are you going to mix those metaphors? People aren't known for leaping into the Dog Pound. Second of all, that's a dangerous place. They throw biscuits at you, they'll throw batteries. If I were Chad, I wouldn't do it. I think it's just a setup because he wants to keep us in the dark. He has something else up his sleeve. Watch. Up those gold Hall of Fame jacket sleeves.
Do you think there's actual harm involved? Do you think that they might actually do something bad to him? Gouge an eye, do something to him that physically causes him pain? Because this isn't the type of thing that you want to start doing in opposing crowds. And outside of the Raiders, is there another crowd that you can think of that would be a worse crowd to do this into?
Cleveland or Philly. I wouldn't want to set foot on the field in Philadelphia because they'll start throwing stuff like they did at Santa Claus way back when. But I think Cleveland fans, they're known for not being nice to anybody. If you ask Michael Jordan, who's the people that treated him the worst of any arena in the league, it was going to be the Cleveland fans.
Do you like Chad, yes or no? Because I think
I love Chad Johnson. How can you not love Chad Johnson?
No,
I like the jacket. I thought the jacket was good, not great.
There are a lot of people who look at him and they get bothered. They get bothered by the urinating on sportsmanship. Just hand the ball to the referee. That's what they say about
it. Have fun. It's a game. It's not serious. You're not negotiating here. On Wednesday, and something is serious, in a Euro qualifier between Albania and the Netherlands, an Albanian fan threw a firecracker at a Dutch soccer player. Last night in Carson, California, USA, someone threw flares onto the field during a match between the Galaxy and Chivas USA. Dan, we've seen soccer games played in empty stadiums in Europe as a result of unruly fans, but we have to resort to such drastic measures here?
This explains the Marlins game the other day, right? 375
people. Throwing stuff on the field down there?
There were like a dozen people by the end of the game. Don't we already play in empty soccer stadiums here without flares being thrown? This is a manufactured story that I'm accusing the producers here of just throwing into the rundown because they just want video.
Maybe you should have been up here to talk to them about it.
Video on the television just to have flares on the field. This is a one-time incident. No, we're not passionate enough about soccer in this country to throw flares. Football, maybe, but not soccer.
Well, you know, they've thrown batteries. They've thrown snowballs with batteries inside them on the field in football. But things have been thrown in Southern California soccer games. At the Coliseum, the Americans were playing Mexican in a friendly, international friendly game. Bags of urine were being thrown at the American players in their own home stadium. So things have happened out here, but I think it's an isolated incident. I don't think we need to worry about soccer hooligans running wild in America.
That's pretty funny. Not very sanitary, but bags of urine.
Like that? You prove that?
Bags of urine. Any sentence.
Now we know where you stand.
Any sentence that has bags of urine in it is a good sentence.
Might by me.
Might
do that to Chad Johnson in the Dog Pound this week. We'll find out. Big weekend in college football, and Kirk Herbstreit is in Lincoln, Nebraska, where the Huskers host USC. Welcome, Kirk. We'll start with the game. You're at the top-ranked Trojans are in town. Can Nebraska do anything? Do they have a chance of knocking off USC?
Well, I think anybody who has followed USC over the years knows that they're a team that can go really into any venue and not be intimidated. And I think because it's here in this stadium, I think it's very important for Nebraska to get out of the gate and have some success early. Whether that means creating turnovers, whether that means driving the field and putting points on the board, they've got to keep the crowd and the momentum behind them for as long as they can sustain it. Because if SC comes into this hostile environment and scores right away, it's going to be a little, it'll set it a little bit of doubt, I think, in the back of the Nebraska fans and the players' minds. So early success is paramount. Sam Keller, the quarterback from Nebraska, played against USC at Arizona State 2 years ago, took a halftime lead of 21-3. I'm sure he's going to try to go back to seeing what helped him get out to that lead and see if he can try to bring it back again this time.
How about a game with zero title implications? Michigan and Notre Dame. Who do you give the advantage to in that one?
Do I have to give an advantage to either of them? I don't see an advantage. When you're dealing with a 2-0-2 teams, I don't think there's necessarily an advantage. I think it's a matter of who can get anything going. Michigan playing at home for the third straight time. They've been booed off the field two straight weeks by their own fans. People want Lloyd Carr fired right now. And you have a Notre Dame team who has a head coach who's an offensive-minded coach who has a lot of success as an offensive coach. They haven't scored an offensive touchdown in two games. So, in my opinion, you look at this game, and I don't think it's an advantage. It's more of who can take advantage of an opportunity and try to avoid making similar mistakes that they've made in the past.
Nick Saban, Osaban bin Laden, Saddam Hussein has his first test at Alabama against number 16, Arkansas. Has he made them better?
Dan, you got to let go of that Miami stuff and all those nicknames you have for Nick Saban.
Barefoot Brian.
Back in college football. I honestly think coming into this game, this is an opportunity for Alabama to really show how good they are with Nick Saban as the head coach. He's known as a defensive genius. What's interesting is the team that he's inherited this year has more experience on the offensive side of the ball, and they're going to be better on that side of the ball than they will be in his first year on the defensive side. So you look at the test of Darren McFadden, in my opinion, pound for pound, he is the best player in college football. They don't have a passing game to go along with Darren McFadden. They'll put a lot of pressure on Casey Dick, the quarterback, on the road. He doesn't have great receivers. They'll try to take Darren McFadden out of the game, put the pressure on Casey Dick in the passing game. And in my opinion, Alabama's going to make a pretty strong statement and show that they're a team to look out for this year, not in the future, which is a given under Nick. But I think this year they have an opportunity to kind of send a message to the rest of the SEC West and how they defend Derek McFadden.
Kirk, will stay with SEC teams, Tennessee and Florida. There's a lot of hype about Florida quarterback Tim Tebow. Can he live up to it?
Yeah, I think we're going to find out how they intend to use Tim Tebow this weekend. Last year, obviously, with Chris Leak as the starting quarterback and the guy who came in to throw the football and lead the team, he came in just more than anything else being a wrinkle where they'd run the football with him. I'm very anxious to see in a big-time game, and this is their first big-time game, will they allow Tim Tebow to continue to run the football? We know he can throw. He's got great receivers. But what makes Urban Meyer's offense dynamic is having that threat from the quarterback position, especially in the red zone, of running the ball, running the option, and the option pass off of it. If they go away from running with the quarterback because of the fear of getting him hurt now that he's the guy, I think that could really hurt this offense. So let's see what they do this weekend against Tennessee. My opinion, Tebow scores a lot of points at home. They will not be stopped very often by Tennessee. On the other side of the ball, I think Eric Ainge and this new huddle offense is the real deal. I think the Volunteers have an opportunity to score some points against this Gator defense, even though they're on the road.
Speaking of early success, last question here. My Northwestern Wildcats are 2-0. Can they run the table?
Absolutely not. They have the good news for Northwestern is they do have Michigan coming to town in a couple weeks. So,
give us those Wildcats. We'll feast on them.
Maybe they can put some points on the board.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Kirk. Time for the game that's hotter than a room full of stolen O.J. Simpson memorabilia. Over-under. Let's get the first one from our host, Tony Reale.
All right, this first one is unpushable. Over or under 1.5 wins for the Yankees this weekend against the Sox?
I'm going over, Tony. At least two for the Yankees, actually, in this series. Because you look at the pitchers that the Red Sox are throwing out there, Daisuke Matsusaka, Josh Beckett, and Curt Schilling. Each of them has an earned run average of over five this season against the Yankees. And the Yankees won six of the last seven between these games. These
Boston has the home field advantage. Boston has the better team, and Boston has the better pitching matchups. The odds would seem to suggest that Boston is going to take the series. It would, because everything is in their favor. I know the Yankees already swept these three pitchers, but over time, J.A., with great pitchers, over time, they're going to win more than they lose, and they're going to adjust that.
Yankees are the hotter team in the second half of the season, and they have more to play for. They're trying to secure that wild card spot. Next.
Over or under one snap for Brady Quinn this Sunday?
I'm going to go over because Romeo Crennel says that if Derek Anderson is struggling at all, he won't hesitate to put a backup in. And that backup in this case is Brady Quinn. You don't think Derek Anderson is going to struggle against his Bengals defense that looked pretty fierce in the Monday night opener?
The backup is Ken Dorsey. You're giving up your season if you put in Brady Quinn. You're saying that's it. Because unless you expect him to be Dan Marino, Ben Roethlisberger, the only guys who have ever been successful as rookies, you're giving up your entire season the moment you put in Brady Quinn because rookie quarterbacks fail. You all right with that?
Do you want to give up on your fan base? The fan base is clamoring for Brady Quinn. Ken Dorsey's not the answer. Also, they would have kept on the roster to start the season.
They're going
to
be bad, though. Peyton Manning was bad his first year. Troy Aikman was 1-15 his first year. If you put Brady Quinn in, you're announcing the season is over.
I don't think people knew that already?
Not this Sunday. You wait till the season's over.
Next.
Over or under 150 yards rushing for the Titans this week against the Colts?
I'm going to go over for that. I mean, Chris Brown had that enough on his own last week in the opener, 175 yards rushing, yet he still had enough energy to go perform on the Video Music Awards. You see that Chris Brown performance? Pretty impressive.
The one thing that surprised me most from anything I've seen so far in professional football was that Colts defense against the Saints. The Saints have a better rushing attack. With Vince Young and Chris Brown, the Saints have a better rushing attack, and they couldn't really run the ball against the Colts. I'm going to go under here because Vince Young had, what, like 20 yards against the Jags rushing? He's the wild card because he might be getting 80.
That backfield of Brown and White, colorful backfield, produced they were effective in the opener, and then the Titans last year rushed for 433 yards in the two games against the Colts. They got
from Brown and White to black and blue. From Brown and White to black and blue.
Next.
The colorful backfield of Brown and White. You get a point, Dan. You're losing already.
Oh, God.
Over or under 500 career games for Greg Oden?
I'm going to go slightly over because everyone's been making the Sam Bowie comparison. They've been dropping that ever since he had the microfracture knee surgery. Sam Bowie actually played in 511 games. So Greg Oden will get to that number at least.
Are we forgetting how young he is? I mean, I know he looks like Caldwell Jones. I know that if you sprayed some gray in his beard, he'd look like Bill Russell. And your mother wouldn't be able to tell which one of them was younger, Bill Russell or Greg Oden. But are we forgetting that he's 19, that he could still come back from this and have 15 years in the league? I mean,
Concern you that he had two surgery. He had surgery coming into his college season. He had surgery coming out of his lone college season.
Sure.
One college season.
Yes, it concerns me. He's a giant man. He's a freak of nature, and the body's going to do some strange things when you're that large. But it doesn't concern me so much that I'm going to wreck his career just at 19.
Next.
You're wrecking your own career. You might as well wreck his career too, Dan. Last one. Over under 2010 as the expiration date for Ozzie's career in Chicago.
I'm going to say under. Somehow, miraculously, he got through this season without saying something that would get him fired, that would get the White Sox fined some huge amount from the commissioner's office. But you're going to tell me he's going to last 2008, 2009, and 2010 without saying something offensive or getting the team quitting on him? Didn't it seem like they were getting ready to quit on him this season?
I don't know about quitting on him. I'm sure that they're trying
pretty hard. They're not responding very well to him this year.
Well, but what do you want? You think they're going to hit the ball? You think Jim Thome's going to hit the ball better because he likes or dislikes Ozzie Guillen? I would say on this front that any manager, you got to go under here, J.A., because the chances of any – give me the manager that you can say with some conviction is going to be there beyond 2010 with whatever team.
Mike Socha with the Angels?
Maybe.
That's enough for me. That's it. Over, under is over. Let's get happy. Happy 22nd birthday, Delmon Young. He's gone from throwing bats in the minors to throwing up some pretty nice numbers in the big. 295 average, 81 RBIs for the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. But will that bat incident follow him forever, Dan?
No, this stuff goes away. If he hits like that for 10 years, well, wait a minute, I just saw the video again.
He throws like that.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, I changed my mind. It'll stay with him.
Happy anniversary, Jamal Lewis. On this day 4 years ago, he rushed for an NFL record 295 yards against the team he now plays for, the Cleveland Browns. Of course, that was before he went to prison on a drug deal case. Things haven't been quite the same for him since.
Kind of a one-hit wonder, huh? What happened to him? How do you rush for 2,000 yards and then vanish without injury?
Because he went to jail. That's going to mess with your game a little bit. Happy trails, 50 Cent. He's losing his CD sales battle with Kanye West by about 180,000 units. He said he would retire from rapping if Kanye moved more product than him. So is this it for 50?
No, he tried to get Interscope Records to buy 300,000 copies. He's going to manipulate the numbers. He's going to cheat like Belichick.
He's on Hot 97 trashing everyone yesterday. Time to find out what we messed up. Reality?
All right, yes, and of course Jamal Lewis did not go from 2,000 to nothing, Dan. He went from 2,000 to jail to now 35 yards last week for the Browns. About that Kanye West feud with 50 Cent, the ultimate Mortal Kombat move, finishing move today by Kanye West. He went on Ellen DeGeneres' show. Finish him. All right, that's it.
Banish 50. All right,
finish
Dan,
him.
Get the people something to watch tonight so we can get finished.
The Day of the Jackal. It's one of my father's favorite movies, even though he doesn't understand it.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High on AMC. All right, we're taking a break.
What do you got? What do you
Fast
got?
Fast Times at Ridgemont High on
Do
AMC.
Some of it. Do
Both
some of it.
The shot was taken. Aloha, Mr. Hand. Awesome. Totally awesome. Welcome back to PTI. Okay, Dan, how will the spy scandal affect Bill Belichick's legacy?
It puts a dent in him, but he's a champion. He's a winner, and the winners get extended more benefit of the doubt no matter what it is that they do. You don't have to like Pat Riley. You can think he's a snake, and you can think he's slimy. Pat Riley's a champion. So you can, there's all sorts of stuff, J.A., in Bill Belichick's personal life and his professional life that don't make him very appealing, but he's a champion. He's got three rings, and those don't get taken away.
You can't cut your corners on your way to winning three Super Bowl championships. It's not that easy. There's a lot more that goes into it. I think this does affect the way we view the Patriots as this model franchise. I don't think you'll see any more books being written about them as this is the model of success. You know, you don't want to be associated with cheaters. And he has been associated with cheating. Now, with his players, cheating with HGH tests, with his personal life and all the stuff that's gone on there, all those allegations. So I think this does dent the legacy. I don't think it takes away from what the Patriots did on the field. You can't tell me that a few stolen signals were the difference in them winning three Super Bowls.
Well, let me ask you this, though, J.A., because one of the things that's interesting is everyone says this penalty wasn't harsh enough. It's harsher for him because he's a champion and because he's Belichick than it would have been for anyone else in the league. Do you think anyone else in the league, any other coach, would have gotten hit with this kind of penalty?
I'm wondering if it's not harsher, if it could have been harsher, but it's not because Kraft, the owner, Robert Kraft, is so beloved in the NFL offices. He's a guy,
well, no,
he's been a good guy.
Kraft,
so,
not only that, Kraft helped Goodell get that job.
Exactly. So if you look at it, it's not that harsh a penalty for the New England Patriots. You have to wonder if the Kraft factor came into play there. Just 1 minute left. Let's go to the big finish. The chase for the Nextel Cup begins this weekend. Who you got?
Why are they chasing a cup? A cup just sits there. I don't understand. The cup's not going anywhere. The Cowboys have replaced the Redskins as the NFL's most valuable franchise. Make sense?
Yeah, it does. America's team is moving into a big, shiny new stadium in a couple years. They should be the most valuable. Ricky Williams' attorney, your boy, says he will apply for reinstatement to the NFL on October 1st. Your thoughts?
Somebody will take him, but I don't think it's going to be the Dolphins, even though he's better than anyone the Dolphins have. Don Nelson says he's reached a deal to coach the Warriors for at least one more season. You excited?
Well, I know the players are. I've never heard so much love for a coach from players as they expressed for him last year in the playoffs. U.S. women's team beats Sweden in the World Cup soccer. Take that, Sweden.
What are you picking on Sweden for? What did they do to you? Ultra runner Tim Borland plans to run 63 marathons in 63 days. Could you run one?
No, but I consumed my share of marathon bars back in the 70s. Remember those caramel chocolate? They're real tasty. Last one, the Mercury and the Shock tied at 2 games apiece. Who wins it all on Sunday?
Will anyone watch that? It's on an NFL Sunday.
Make a call. We're out of time. Tony Mike are back on Monday. I'm J.A. Adonde.
I'm Dan Levitard, and I'm tired of having the WNBA thrown down my throat. Have a great weekend.
If you like this edition of PTI, you may also like Around the Horn. All ESPN podcasts are free to download at the iTunes Music Store and on PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com. PTI.
Monday, St. Mary's school uniform. Tuesday, St. Mary's school uniform. Wednesday, St. Mary's school uniform. Thursday, St. Mary's school uniform. Friday, blue and red number 12. He's cute.
No matter where you are or what you're doing, every Friday this season is Dick's Sporting Goods Fan Friday. So wear your team out. Authentic Reebok licensed NFL apparel and gear. Available at Dick's Sporting Goods. Every season starts at Dick's.